And so let's be encouraged tonight, my friends. You have your Bibles. I trust that you do. Always a blessing to prime our hearts from the Word of God. Kind of recenter us, of course, the busy week. Things get by and go by. And, you know, just kind of how it is. It's always a blessing to look forward to the midweek service to kind of retune our heart back to God's Word and God's will. And so the title of tonight's message, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Now, I'm not talking about movies, okay? But what happens if you think of this? Milk. Especially now that it's, you know, summer's in the air. But what happens if you leave milk out of the fridge for too long? Of course, it spoils, it sours, it curdles. Now, the idea is for you and I, Christians, don't spoil. Don't let yourself get spoiled. You know, as we live our life, as we make our life decisions, as we come and go, as we work and play, as we journey and settle, Christian, don't spoil. So let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Go to verse 8, will be our main text for tonight, and then we'll go some verses before, some verses after, and then some additional supporting verses. But let's go to Colossians in the New Testament, chapter 2, and what a desire by the Apostle Paul, of course, picturing God, speaking for God, speaking God's precious word to the Colossians, the believers, of course, his children in the faith, and by extension, you and I. But Colossians chapter 2, let's go to verse 8, and that will be our main verse for tonight. The Word of God says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house even tonight. And so, Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you, Lord, for just a good report from the missionaries. What an encouragement, Lord, that it's good news from a faraway land. And so can it stir our hearts, Lord, to hear in our Jerusalem, keep on soldiering forward for you. Help us, Lord, to be reminded that we are to set our sights on things eternal, not things that are just temporary, Lord. And Father, we just ask even tonight that you anoint these lips of clay, that I would speak from heaven on high, that we would hear from you, personally hear from you, Father, that we would be on guard and beware and not let any man, anyone spoil us. Keep our sights set on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, your word. And we thank you so much for this this privilege of assembling tonight, that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, friends. A couple of updates, just some context, okay, to understand, you know, the background or the context from which Paul is writing here. And context makes all the difference. It certainly does when it comes to interpreting and properly applying the scriptures. And so if back up to verse 6, it's important to understand who Paul, yes, I get it, he's speaking to the Colossians, okay, but to understand that who Paul is addressing, and he's addressing believers, he's addressing Christians, okay, the idea is what Paul is saying is not what we would do to get saved, it's what Paul desires us, what God desires us to do because we are saved. Now that we are saved, now that we are born again as babes in Christ, and then growing and maturing in our walk with God, please follow the wisdom of God. And that's essentially chapter 2 here. Okay, Colossians, they are being challenged by Paul, saying, yes, you're saved. You can make your own choices. You're growing up. And think of a young adult or a older teen transitioning to young adult, coming of age, you know, where they have the world at their fingertips. And now the idea is the encouragement, the instruction, the commandment from God is to apply your hearts to God's wisdom, not man's wisdom, okay? In Jesus, how you got saved, he is complete. You have all your sufficiency in Christ. You don't have to go to the world regardless of what the world tells you, okay? So, but you back up to verse 6. This is huge because who is Paul addressing? If you're saved, God is addressing you and I with his verses, okay? If you're saved, this is how God wants us to grow in a walk with him, how God wants us to walk in our Christian life. Let's go to verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So these, they are saved. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're saved. This applies to us. So walk ye in him. And so we come to the Lord for salvation. Why on earth would I leave him to now live my Christian life, right? We start with Christ. We continue with Christ. And then we finish with Christ. So that's the whole emphasis here. And then verse 7, God wants us to grow. This is God's will for you and I. Once you're saved, he wants you to grow in his walk with him. In other words, grow in God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Think of having a foundation. You're anchored in Christ. You're rooted in Christ and built up in him. Don't just stay just as a slab of concrete, as a foundation. add to it. Your main floor, your first floor, second floor, third floor. Grow in your walk with the Lord to be built up in Him and establish in the faith. Not just talking about faithfulness, but the faith, meaning the Christian faith, the Christian doctrine, the Christian teachings, the wisdom of God, as ye have been taught. They've taught it, they know it, now be established in it. Be a teacher of it, be a doer of it, not just a hearer only. And then abounding, so again, just overflowing. And so don't just stay stagnant. God's will for you and I, if you are saved, is to grow. Grow in your walk with God, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is God's will for every Christian. Okay, and so again, understand that, yeah, and again, Paul is, you know, he loves the Colossians, you know, he's been the spiritual father, okay, leading them. And now he knows that they are coming of age again. They got all these choices they can make. And he's really having a burden that they make the right choices, right? And so the idea is, Christian, God has given you the liberty to make choices, but he wants you to choose right, okay? Don't fall for what the world tells you. Don't fall for the wisdom of man. Stick to God's wisdom. In fact, if you go to verse 1, same chapter, and Paul kind of shares his heart. Okay, this is God's heart to you and I. And so this is all that Paul goes through. All the pain, all the hurt, all the persecution is so that the Colossians can get it, right? Hopefully. So let's go to verse 1. And Paul is really sharing his burden with the Colossians. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you." I mean, they kind of know it. But unless you're in the trenches with Paul, I mean, you can't really appreciate it, okay? I mean, there's so much more that meets the eye than what we see on the surface. And what Paul is saying, oh, if you only knew, Colossians, how much I'm risking my life just to minister to you, okay? But it's so important. That's why Paul is doing it, okay? So understand what Paul is sharing with us. What God is telling us here, friends, is this is huge for our Christian walk once we are saved, okay? Great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. I mean, other churches too, other Christians. And so certainly, you can certainly apply that to us here at Northside. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. And so he's not, you know, they weren't able to interact in person. So he really like, oh man, I really hope they can get it. I really hope those Colossians, I really hope those Northside Baptist Christians, I really hope they get this. Get what? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Of course, he wants the church to be unified. God wants us to be unified. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Now, this is huge because true wealth and true riches is not in the bright lights of the world, but it's in the Word of God. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So they are saved and they are completely saved. But there is this mystery, meaning there is truth that they haven't unpackaged yet. If you are saved, my friend, God wants you to grow. And until you grow to where God wants you to be, fully matured and to be a perfect Christian, there are mysteries of the Christian faith that we don't get. Okay, so that's the thing. He wants us to unpackage this. You know, it's like someone, you know, gives you a mystery gift, and it says, don't open till you're fully matured. You know, one of those things. And someone asks you, wait, what do you have there? Like, I don't know, it's all wrapped up. But it says, don't open till I'm fully matured. And then you just put it in your room. Maybe you tuck it under your bed. Don't leave it there. This is what Paul is saying. He wants us to have the full riches to understand and comprehend and be that perfect Christian, meaning that matured Christian, so that we can finally get it. Understand the fullness of what we have to open that mystery gift and like, oh, this is awesome. Because sadly, so many Christians, yes, they're saved, but they never mature to the point where they even, maybe they even forgotten about this mystery gift that's under the bed collecting dust and have instead gone and pursue things from the world, right? This is huge. And so verse 3, in whom are hid, now this is a person, that's Jesus Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I can't stress enough why God mentioned this in verse 3. It's because he's going to contrast the wisdom of Christ with the wisdom of the world. Don't for one second think that the world can offer you anything. It is 100% in the wisdom of God. It's not even 99% God, 1% world. It's 100% God, zero world. Okay, the only thing that the world can offer us is deceit and lies. Okay, so this is huge. And then verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So this is the sales pitch of the world, saying, hey, yeah, you got your Bible, but can you? Why don't you consider this? Ever thought of it this way? Yeah, you have the Word of God, but what about this? Or, hey, you still have your needs. I mean, God can meet your spiritual needs, but what about your physical needs? The world can supply those physical, carnal needs. I mean, don't let any man beguile you. Okay, this is to bewitch, to put a trance and to hypnotize you so you walk off like a lemming away from the Word of God. Don't do that. And don't let any man do it. Don't let ourselves do it. Don't let our heart deceive us, right? And so this is his desire. Okay, so he's really building up this case, which builds us all the way to verse 8, our main text. And so he says, beware lest any man spoil you. Again, that word beware, I don't know. We don't see it too often in everyday life. The only time I think I can remember seeing signs that said beware is beware of dog. Okay, but if I can share, I'm still kind of jumpy around dogs, but especially when I was younger, I was horrified about dogs. And if there was a sign that said beware of dog, I would not even want to go up to that to that home. I kind of just walk around it. The idea is Christians are to be on guard, to beware against what Paul talks about here, the world's wisdom, man's wisdom, okay? And unfortunately, too many Christians are not even on guard, they're not even concerned, they're not even watching, and they're certainly not, is bewaring a word? they're certainly not bewaring of what God is telling them to beware of, okay? And so first of all, get your guards up, okay? Be wary, be on guard against the wisdom of the world. So beware, lest any man, could be anyone. It could be, of course, ourselves, but it could be an influencer, right? A role model. It could be someone at work. It could be a random stranger. It could be a best friend. It could be anyone that might, whether they intentional or not, that anyone can spoil us through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. To be spoiled, meaning to turn, I use the example of milk, to sour and to go bad and get curdled, to get tainted, to get corrupted. Again, not our salvation. Once saved, you're always saved. But our Christian life, our testimony, our joy, God's perfect plan for you, don't let the wisdom of the world spoil it. Don't let the wisdom of the world lure you off and then send you off the deep end. And yeah, you're saved, praise God, but you have no joy in your life because you made wrong decisions. My friends, you only have one life. Make the choices that would honor God based on God's wisdom. You think of the word spoil, I think of a wartime kind of a conquest thing where those who are captured, kidnapped, or taken hostage, like a bad guy, taking the spoils of conquest, right, from a defeated good guy. Don't be defeated by Satan, by man's wisdom. Don't become Satan's spoil, right? And so how can anyone spoil us? How can any man spoil us? And then there's three that's listed here, three ways that we can get spoiled. So don't get spoiled. Okay, spoiler alert, don't get spoiled. Number one, philosophy. Philosophy. In fact, it's kind of cool word, philosophy. In fact, I was reminded when you look up the word philosophy, it's a union of two words, philos, which is love for, and then Sophia, which is wisdom. Yes, my daughter's name is Sophia. And so love for wisdom. And so it's philos, Sophia. That's the love or to desire wisdom, which in and of itself, it's good if it's God's wisdom, okay? Obviously, the context that Paul is saying here is man's wisdom, okay? So don't be a desirer of man's wisdom. And so thinking of human wisdom, human reasoning, okay? Human intellectual prowess, okay, or lack thereof. In fact, if you think of even PhDs, right, you know, that's the doctorate. That is a doctor of philosophy, right? That's the whole point of PhDs. The world belongs to Satan. The world belongs to Satan. Satan is the malignant god of this world. Remember, Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world. And the world is like a giant ocean with its current that is so strong. The world is like a machine, okay, where man teaches man how to assimilate in this world, while the wisdom of God is from above and is our lifeline to rise above this sin-cursed world. Sadly, too many Christians make shipwreck, okay? Man's philosophy, notice how it says here, through philosophy and what? Vain deceit. Vain meaning it's futile. It's vanity. It doesn't do anything but ruin. But it's also deceitful, meaning it is hard to discern. It's deceptive. And so it appears clever. It appears smart. It appears true. But it's not true. It's anything but. And so be on guard against this, because unless we are bewaring, okay, we are going to be deceived. Okay, we have to have your armor of God on. You have to have the Word of God and examine everything that the world tells us. You know, man would tell you to get here, worldly success, you must do this. The world would say to have happiness, we need this. You know, God says what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We know these verses. And all these things shall be added on to you. That's Matthew 6:33. Now, what's amazing is we know these verses, but keep them in heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you have a choice, and God gives us plenty of choices, always put the Lord first. The world would say, yeah, but God understands, and you need to do this before to get your needs met. If you focus on the Lord, now, doesn't mean you don't work a job. Okay, that's not what it's saying. But God must always come first in our heart and in our actions. You put God first, he will add onto you everything else that you need, okay? God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That's very similar to in Psalm 1, right? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, so after, as a result of doing that, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then, again, as a result of doing that, thou shalt have what? Good success. And this is a promise from God. If you observe to do all that the Bible tells you, you will be blessed. Perhaps not the way that the world would paint that picture of blessedness, but you will be blessed in true joy, not just carnal pleasure that would fade away. And there is a huge difference between good success and worldly success, right? Just like in Psalm 1, it says, verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you want whatsoever you do to prosper? I mean, that's like, wow, that's amazing. What's the key? Do I have to study really hard? Do I have to have all these degrees, all these PhDs? No, you just have to meditate on God's word. Love God first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added on to you. In other words, seek to glorify God. Seek whatever you can do, extend the kingdom of God. Desire God's advancement of kingdom. Desire God's glory, and then God will take care of your needs. Don't fall for the lie of the world, which is deceitful, and it's so appealing that, oh, you know what? I'm going to just dip my foot into God's will, and then the rest of me I'm going to give over to the world. Don't do that. That is a lie from Satan, and you will be spoiled. Don't get spoiled. Number two, tradition. Tradition. It says here, tradition of men. Of course, not God's tradition, man's traditions. And so a tradition is if I want to just describe it, you know, some kind of an ingrained process, a mindset, maybe habits that we all do all the time. We just kind of do it all the time because we are used to it. We don't like change. We just keep doing it. But also we think that it's good, you know. And yes, I get it. There can be good traditions, you know, things that bring us closer to God. Yes, I get that. That can be good habits if it coincides with God's word. Praise God for it. But there are an awful lot of bad traditions. Personal traditions, family traditions, religious traditions, you name it, that keep us from God. Traditions, in fact, Jesus rebuked a lot of the traditions of the Pharisees. traditions can make us break God's commandments if we're not careful. Remember, Jesus had to rebuke the Pharisees of their quote-unquote Corban tradition. Remember that they would have, they would say, hey, you need to give this to the Lord's temple, to the Lord's work, which would be themselves. And then you mark it as Corban, and then it's separated for God. And then you don't have to help your parents, even though they're hurting, because you just tell mom and dad, oh, that's Corban, mom. That's Corban, dad. It's dedicated to the priests. I can't give that to you to help you in your need. That was a tradition of men. That was a temple tradition, which is contrary to the word of God, because God says children got to do what? Honor mom and dad. And so because of this tradition of men, it made them break God's commandments. And so that's huge. Don't do that. How to break man's traditions that blind us? Because traditions will blind us. Because if we have blinders on, we don't even realize that we are breaking God's commandment. Well, only God can do that. Let's go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Our vain traditions, God saves us from. And he opens our eyes to it. But it starts by calling on God in faith and fear. And so 1 Peter chapter 1. And so may we truly do this. It says if here. The context is, Christians, please do this, because not everyone does. Okay, so Lord willing, we are doing this. That's why the if is here in the verse. But let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and then verse 17. And if, so not everyone does it, but please do it. Okay, if you don't want to be deceived and if you don't want to be spoiled by the traditions of men, Christian, please do this. If ye call on the Father, call out to him. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, deliver me. Lord, tune my heart. Lord, search me. Who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work. He's going to judge my work. He's going to judge your work. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Sojourning is just a temporary, stay. We're not staying on this earth forever. We're just passing through, right? Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And do we truly believe that? And if my treasures are beyond the blue, if my treasures have been laid up in heaven, I don't need to focus my treasures on earth, right? Remember, we have two accounts, an account on earth, an account in heaven. Which one are we laying up to? And so calling out to God in fear. Why? Verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things. Remember our opening passage in Colossians chapter 2? Verse 6, as he had received Christ, so walk in him, right? And so we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Notice this, the Bible is calling silver and gold. These are the things at the top of the man's food chain. God calls them corruptible things. Why? Because they don't last forever. Why? If I was not saved by gold and silver, why in the world do I pursue it after I'm saved? Okay, this is huge. From your vain conversation, that's our testimony, our walk, our life, received how? By tradition from your fathers. Again, there can be good traditions, but by and large, most traditions are bad. Okay, you got to be careful. We want to seek after God. We weren't saved by gold and silver, even though it's man's tradition that, hey, this is what you want to seek after. Don't be foolish. You want to go after money? No, that's not what God says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is what saved us, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without what? Spot. So this is how Jesus saved me, by his precious blood. This is how I ought to live, to be unspotted by the world. Remember Paul's spiritual weapons of warfare, his prayer, the power of the word of God, the scriptures, can pull down even the biggest strongholds in our life, our imaginations, our traditions. Pray. Call out to God in faith, in fear. The fear of God is the beginning of what? Of wisdom, of knowledge. But we have to do what God says. Beware. Sometimes repetition, traditions can kind of set in. It's easy for me to think or say to myself, well, I don't know. I did this before and that was okay. So I think it's okay for me to keep doing it. Well, don't have that mindset. If it's wrong from the scriptures, it's wrong to do. In fact, oftentimes if I think, well, I did it one time, I think it's okay to keep doing it. You know, that's what everyone who has died from a drug overdose had thought. because all the previous times they did drugs, hey, that was okay, I guess it's okay. So that principle is defunct, okay? That's not good. Just because we have done it many times doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wise. Maybe I didn't buckle my seat that one time, and doesn't mean that you never buckle. If it's wise to buckle, buckle up. Number one, philosophy and vain deceit. Number two, traditions. This is how we get spoiled as Christians. Number three, last but not least, the rudiments of the world. This is what Paul says. The fundamental teachings, man's doctrines, man's what, when, why, where, how to, science, falsely so-called, okay, from evolution, which I completely believe, and I was yet lost in my sin. I completely grew up believing evolution, all the way to there's no global flood, to anything that contradicts Scripture, to, well, what about this? We need money to be happy. Let me just toss it out there. We need money to be happy. That's a rudiment of the world. That's a doctrine of the world. You think that's true? That's not true. Not at all. You need Jesus to be saved. And you need Jesus to be happy. Money doesn't buy happiness. We know that. Or we should know that. Let's go to 1 Timothy. But these are the mantras, the teachings, the false doctrine of the world that go contrary to Scripture. So don't let them spoil you. And so let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And Paul warns you. Let's go all the way to the end, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6, go to verse 20. In fact, the Bible tells us the love of money is the root of all evil, right? And so be cautious. Look at money that way and the love of money. Don't love money. And so verse 20 says, "Oh, Timothy," this is Paul again to his son in the faith. I mean, you can practically hear him just really just pining for his son in the faith. Please, please, please keep that which is committed to thy trust. He's got the Holy Scriptures that made him wise unto salvation. Don't compromise the Scripture. Don't abandon it. Don't keep it under your bed. But let your light so shine before men, right? Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called. There's going to be an awful lot of criticism and insults and temptations to you that is going to come saying, hey, the Bible is not completely true. Yeah, it might be good for your, you know, for a emotional support. But if you really want to be over here, you got to do this. My friends, if it's not what the Word of God says, don't be spoiled. Look at verse 21, which some professing, so some that Paul and Timothy knew had gone the other way, have erred concerning the faith. And so because of the rudiments of the world, because of the false teaching of the world, we can't do both. We can't do both. We will be spoiled if we go the way of the world. Grace be with thee. We need God's grace, of course. Amen. Timothy already had what was entrusted to him. Paul is telling him, keep that. Keep it. We have, if you hold it right here, God's precious, precious word. Don't forsake this. Don't trade this in for, quote-unquote, the wisdom of the world, which is not wisdom, it's foolishness. Don't do that. Man will say, money makes the world go round. Money talks. Man will say, gain is godliness. But God says the love of money is the root of all evil. God says we cannot serve God and mammon. And so these are two opposing views. Cling to the truth of what God tells us, okay? The rudiments of the world, the traditions of men, and then philosophy and vain deceit. It's deceptive. And unless we see it in the light of the Scriptures, we will be spoiled. So let's go back to Colossians. We're going to wrap it up here. Let's go back to Colossians. Don't be shipwrecked. Don't be spoiled. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. And now keep going. And here's why. Here's why we don't have to dabble with what the world offers. This is why we don't have to entertain the wisdom of man, because of verse 9. It's awesome. Okay, Colossians 2, let's go to verse 9. Considering Jesus, right? Verse 6, as we have therefore received Christ Jesus our Lord, so walk ye in him. Okay, why? Because verse 9, for in him, who's the him? This is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dwelleth all, A-L-L, every single aspect, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is a wonderful, bodily meaning literally in the flesh. And Jesus Christ was was completely God, the complete Godhood, not just partial. In other words, Jesus wasn't one-third God. Okay, he was completely God. When Jesus Christ is complete Godhood and Godness, godliness, and all his teaching and all his word is going to be full and sufficient for us. We don't have to go anywhere else. And so that's the whole point. In him dwelleth, that's Jesus Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is when he was here literally in person, in the flesh. Remember, Jesus Christ was one person when he walked on planet Earth with two natures. He had the man nature and he had the God nature. But he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily in body form. Verse 10. Now that we are saved, from verse 6, verse 10, and ye are what? Complete in him. You're not missing anything. You're not disadvantaged. Christian, you're not narrow-minded. Oh, we should be narrow-minded, just the way of, you know, because narrow is the way that leads to life, okay? But Christians, you are not disadvantaged because you don't have the wisdom of the world, okay? You are holy and sanctified because of it. Which, Jesus Christ, is the head of all principality and power. That is amazing. Every power that's on planet Earth is ordained by God. God is the source of all power. He is a sovereign God. If you are saved, you have everything in Jesus Christ. Everything in his word. All the wisdom of God is in the scriptures. Cleave to it. Don't forsake it. Don't be spoiled, spoiler alert, don't be spoiled by the philosophy of man, vain deceit, the traditions of men, and the rudiments of the world. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father, what a joy, again, to be reminded. Help us to beware. Help us to be on guard. Because it's so easy for me to just, you know, easily to wander and to maybe kind of, you know, there is no best of both worlds. It has to be just only you. All that the world and man offers, even my own wicked heart that pulls me astray. This is all vanity. It's all deceit. And so, Father, we thank you for your truth. Help us, Lord, to delight ourselves in you. Help us, Lord, to rejoice evermore. Help us, Lord, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And we know by faith you will add everything else to us. Father, help us to meditate in your word day and night. And then whatsoever I do as a result after that will be prosperous. What a joy. Help us to not be spoiled. We give you all the praise. Help us to cry out and call out to you, Lord, in faith and in godly fear. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need you. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, friends.